John chapter 6. John chapter 6, 26 through 37, and then 48 through 58. Let us hear God's word. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And then skipping down to verses 48 through 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." And then reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we can do nothing without you. We cannot believe your word. We cannot understand your word because our hearts are hardened. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would now open up our hearts, that we would receive your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hunger is probably something that none of us really have ever experienced. Oh yeah, you might have gotten hungry because you had to postpone your lunch and didn't get to eat later, or you're having to eat a late dinner. But true hunger, true thirst, for most of us, we have never really experienced that. And that's because when we get hungry, we simply go to the refrigerator or we go to the cupboard. There's always something there that we can eat. We do not really spend our time wondering, where is my next meal coming from? We never think about, what will I do if I don't have something to eat? We really don't know what it means to hunger. and to thirst. Biblically, hunger and thirst, it's a painful thing. The scripture says that Jacob and his family, because there was a famine in the land, became very hungry. So Jacob sent some of his sons to Egypt to buy grain. The scriptures also talk about the prodigal son. They say he was hungry. The scriptures describe his hunger as a longing, that he's in a desperate situation. It's a very painful experience. He realized that unless something was going to change, he was going to die. There was nothing within himself that could help his situation. His hunger was so intense that he even longed to eat the food that the pigs were eating. But even that he could not get his hands on. Thus, to truly hunger and thirst, it is a painful experience. And one must come to the realization that they are helpless. They are helpless to help themselves. Hunger and thirst, it's a serious, life-threatening, desperate condition that causes us to look away from ourselves to someone or something else. And it is with that understanding that Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness realizes that they are in a serious, life-threatening, desperate situation. Like one who would be without food and therefore is hungry and about to die. The one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness realizes that without a righteousness of their own, they cannot stand before God at the judgment day. That they're going to be judged by God. And they have nothing to hope in. People who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they don't look to themselves. They no longer compare themselves to other people. I hear this all the time. At work, I will be talking with people, trying to get the gospel in there a little bit, and people respond, "But you know, I'm really a good person." Well, maybe compared to other people, you may be a good person. The problem is, you will not be compared to other people. You're going to be compared to the holiness, to the righteousness, and to the absolute, complete perfection of God. People who hunger and thirst after righteousness know that they have a lack of righteousness. They see the abundance of sin in their life. They see that they cannot help themselves. They see that there is no way that they can ransom their soul from the judgment of God. They do not look inwardly. Instead, they begin to look outwardly. They cry out like Paul, "Oh, I am such a wretched man. Who will save me from this body of death? What must I do to be saved?" They agree with King David when he says, "Surely I've been a sinner from birth, from the time my mother conceived me." They are like the prodigal son. "I have sinned against heaven and am no longer worthy to be called thy son." Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness no longer are looking inwardly. They are no longer hoping for a righteousness of their own. Instead, they are looking away from themselves. They are looking for help. And in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus tells us where those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he tells us where they look to. He says that he is the one who can provide the life-sustaining nourishment for both body and soul. He is the one who has a righteousness that he can give. Jesus compares himself to the manna that God provided the Israelites in the desert on their way to the promised land. Jesus says that that manna, that bread that fell from heaven, is only an illustration. It is a shadow of the greater reality to come. As God provided food for Israel to keep them alive in the desert, God is still providing food. But now he is providing spiritual food to keep his people alive. As the manna came down from heaven, so God the Son came down from heaven. And as the people were dependent upon God to provide them bread each day to keep them alive, so the people of God still today are dependent upon God providing that spiritual food, the spiritual manna, to sustain them day by day. And that bread that came down from heaven is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, of course, Jesus is speaking metaphorically. He's not literally saying that you must physically eat his flesh and blood. He's not advocating cannibalism. He goes on to say in verse 63 of John chapter 6, that the words he is speaking are spiritual words. They are spirit and they are life. But what Jesus means is that just as we eat bread to sustain our physical life, we must hunger and thirst after him. We must feed upon him if we are to be sustained physically and spiritually. God had made promises to Abraham that the descendants of Abraham would become kings and that they would inherit the entire earth. And Abraham said to God, O Lord, what will you give me, seeing I am childless? And God answered by saying, I will give you a son. So the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness says to God, O Lord, what can you give me, seeing that I have no righteousness? And God has responded to you by saying, I will give you my Son. And what Jesus, the Son of God, provides, it is a righteousness, a covering for you, a righteousness of imputation, a righteousness that is given to you. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way. He says, in his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which they will be called, by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, put it this way. But now our righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul has labored to explain the spiritual depravity of even the believers there in Rome. He has labored to show them how they are guilty before God. He wants to bring them to a point of despair. He wants to bring them to a point of hungering and thirsting for a righteousness that is not their own. He wants them to look away for one who will provide a righteousness for them. And then he comes to them and says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from your goodness, apart from you trying to obey the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This gift of righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You see, God requires righteousness from everybody. Look at it this way. The only people who will be saved are those people who are perfect. Yeah. If you want to escape the wrath of God, if you want to be saved from the fires of hell, then you must be perfect. Never sin in word, thought, and deed. You must be righteous. You must be holy. You must be perfect. Do you see the problem? My friend, where is your perfection? Where is your holiness? Where is your righteousness? God requires it of you. Where is yours? It's like the sheriff saying to the outlaw, "Boy, you're in a heap of trouble. We are in a heap of trouble because we have no righteousness of our own. But the grace and the mercy of God moves him, compels him to provide a perfection, a holiness, a righteousness for his people. God provides a righteousness for sinners. A righteousness whereby, though they are sinful and though they continue to sin, he counts them as if they are perfect. The prophet Isaiah says, "Though your sins are like scarlet," you know, there's a lot of them, you can't even count them, "they shall be as white as snow." Like the fatted calf was slain for the prodigal son to meet his hunger, Christ has been slain for you to meet your need of righteousness. Jesus Christ obeyed God's law perfectly. He obeyed it in word, thought, and deed. He never sinned. And now he offers that righteousness that he has earned. He offers it to you as a free gift. But it's only acquired by those who will hunger and thirst for it. The prophet Isaiah says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the water, and your soul will delight." You must desire it. You must hunger and thirst for it. You must realize that there is nothing in you that can provide the righteousness that God requires. Like an infant looks to his mother and feeds off the breast of his mother, you must feed off Christ. You must be dependent upon Christ. You must hunger and thirst for Christ. As the Israelites looked to heaven every morning, waiting on the manna to fall, my friend, you must look to Christ. You must believe on his word if you are to receive his righteousness. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. As a matter of fact, even in the very beginning, you fight against it. But it is freely given to those who will hunger and thirst for it. You know, God could have set salvation at such a very high price. But instead, the price really, in a way, has been set very low. Because all you must do is hunger and thirst for it. But the hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a hungering and thirsting after Christ. It is not a hungering and thirsting about trying to be a better person, trying to be a more loving father or loving wife. No. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness implies that you hunger and thirst after Christ. That's why John writes the words of Jesus when Jesus says, "All those whom the Father has given to me will come to me, because the Holy Spirit will work in them a hungering and a thirsting after Christ Himself." Esau, when he had returned from hunting, he said to his brother Jacob, "I am hungry to the point of death. Give me something to eat. What good is this birthright if I die from hunger?" So one who hungers and thirsts after Christ, one who hungers and thirsts after His righteousness says, "I am spiritually hungry to the point of death. Give me Christ or I shall die. What good is it if I gain the whole world yet forfeit my soul? Give me Christ." Can you imagine someone who is truly hungry being seated at a banquet and not wanting anything to eat? No, those who are truly hungry will eat from the banquet. Those who are truly hungry after righteousness will come to Christ. Nothing but the blood of Christ will satisfy them. When the prodigal understood his situation, when he understood his true need, he didn't linger in the pen with the pigs anymore. What did he do? When he understood his true need, he returned to the Father's house. When we understand our true need, we don't linger in the pig pen of our sin. We go to Christ. We go to Christ because in the Father's house there is plenty to eat. My desire, my longing will be satisfied in the righteousness of Jesus. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Then come to Christ. Only He can satisfy. If you have come to Christ, then follow Christ. If you love Him for the gift of righteousness, then seek to be righteous in your life to the glory of Christ. Those who refuse to eat do so because they have no appetite. Those who refuse to come to Christ do so because they have no appetite for Christ and His righteousness. But if you have an appetite for Christ, if you know your need of righteousness, my friend, get up out of the pig pen and this very day return to the Father's house, because He has a righteousness for you. A righteousness of Christ. A righteousness that the Father Himself has approved of and is pleased with. Come to Christ. Do not delay. Be filled with Him. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for the righteousness that only He can provide for us. Oh, heavenly Father, we are bankrupt. We are destitute. We have no righteousness of our own. But yet You and Your great mercies, the mercies that are new every morning, You have poured out upon us a righteousness from Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, let Your love so impress us that it humbles us and keeps us near the cross. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.